Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. This is Dennis, and I'm here with the Spirit of Truth Ministry team on February 29, 2020, and you will not be able to listen to another program like the one that you're going to hear today for another 4 years, because this is leap day of our leap year.
Well, you can listen to another program like it, but not on February 29th.
Not on February 29th.
4 years.
4 years from now, exactly.
And hopefully things will be
a little different.
A little different by then.
Right. We encourage you to go to the chat room. I will have all of the information that you need to get the information from our websites there in just a few minutes. I also encourage you to make use of our Blog Talk Radio page by going to our episode tab, and you can download any number of 1,124 episodes. Think about that. Now, by the way, that's not all of it, but that is 1,124 hours of information that you can just access by the click of a button. And we encourage you to go make use of that. Let's have prayer and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us this day to step aside from the world and to come into your presence to learn from you. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to us today to give us the understanding of the words of Jesus that will bring us to the truth. And I pray, Father, that as we go through this time that is a struggle for the world, we have all sorts of things going on in the world that can make us very nervous. In fact, it can make us fearful if we let it. I pray that your Spirit will be with us and that we will take your words to heart, to be not afraid, for I am with you. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Michael.
Morning.
And good morning, Larry. And hi, Rick.
What's happening, Dennis?
Well, we've got COVID-19 rearing its ugly head, and all sorts of people are terrified and all of that stuff. And
how many people do you think are praying right now?
How about billions? Billions of people. If my Facebook page is any indication, there's a lot of people out there who are terrified of what's going on.
Now, if people are
sad,
praying,
sad thing.
And praying, constant prayer. I'm sure there are special prayer meetings where people are praying that God take matters into his own hand concerning the outbreak. My question is, do you think that God has been asleep or on vacation? Like Elijah was wondering about Baal, who was no God at all, and he was just about ready to prove that beyond any shadow of a doubt. Holding special prayer meetings are fine. Praying to God for his intervention is a good thing. But what is more important than that is to know that God is directly involved in matters of this earth. But there is a ruler of the kingdom of the world who is desperate to make things work his way. He has been very active from the creation of everything on this planet and in it and around it. Do you think that God is waiting for us to show that we believe in him, acknowledge his presence and his power, and convince him that we really need him to intervene in this whole mess? That would be to imply that he has not been already working in this mess. I see this as the last ditch effort of the kingdom of the world in an attempt to reestablish authoritarian rule and bring about the socialist oligarchy that the Book of Revelation describes. Is that, do you think that is what the people of the world want? I wouldn't think so, given the fact that those who believe in God are praying. And when I say that, I'm not just saying Christians. And I'm not just saying Jews. And I'm not just saying Muslims. I'm saying they are all praying to God. I'm going to say something that may be surprising to you. God knows those who live in darkness. And God cares about those who live in darkness. He's not turned his back on them. He's not shut the door to them. God cares about those who live in darkness. And to prove that, I offer the evidence that he sent his only begotten Son into the darkness because he cared about the people who live in the darkness. And it wasn't just to Israel and the children of Israel, because there were those in the darkness who lived in the darkness, and it was the same darkness that the children of Israel were living in, just different false gods. What god do you think the chief priests and the scribes were working on behalf of? Was it Yahweh, the Almighty God in heaven, the creator of everything? Was he the God they were working for on behalf of?
Not if you believe what Ezekiel wrote about the priests in the temple.
Well, didn't the Son of God say, if God was your father, you would love me? Didn't he say that?
Mm-hmm.
So would that imply that they were working on behalf of another God that was not the Father of the Son of God who came here?
Well, he even told them. He says, you are of your father, the devil.
Yeah. What about the woman that is, we call the Syrophoenician woman that the Son of God said to her, I have been sent only to the house of Israel. And what was her answer? Even the dogs
get the crumbs
who fall from the master's table. And what was his response? I have not found such faith in Israel. Go, your daughter is healed. And what about the centurion's servant? I can offer any number of quote-unquote Gentile believers who were not worshiping Almighty God. And what does that have to do with today? Well, this is what I'm going to say. If you believe that Allah is your God, you pray to Allah. You pray to Allah about the pandemic. If you believe in God, you pray to God about the pandemic. If you're a Hindu, if you're a Buddhist, you pray. I have said this many, many, many times. We all were born in darkness. Even the Son of God, when he was born of Mary, he was born into a world of darkness, but there was no darkness in him. He was the light who was sent here, who willingly came here to reveal the light. We all live in the spiritual wilderness. We all live. in a spiritual wilderness. I'm going to read the parable of the marriage, the invitation to the marriage. Which is Matthew 22. Matthew 22, starting with verse 1. Jesus began to speak to them in parables once again. And just a note, yesterday I talked about why parables. Dennis, why did he speak to the people in parables? Why are these parables still here for us today?
Because only those who are wise will understand.
To whom has it been granted to know the meaning of the parables?
The bondservants of Jesus.
To his disciples.
To his disciples.
And how do we know if we're a disciple or not? If you
do two things.
Do two things. What are those two things?
You keep the commandments of God.
No. John 8. If you abide in my word or testimony, you are
truly a disciple
of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How do you become a disciple? By learning and by learning, living in. And what that means is studying thoroughly the testimony of Jesus.
And that's why I said what I said. That's from Revelation 12:17. The dragon was angry with the woman and went to war.
Right, but I understand, and I'm not arguing. I'm not taking issue with that. What I'm saying
is that it does not say,
these are my disciples. It only says, these are born of the same woman that he was born of, not Mary, the Holy Spirit. So.
Okay, what's the text again?
Then, that great commission, Matthew 28, what does he say? Go to all nations, teaching them to obey everything I taught you. Okay, the marriage feast. God had sent an invitation to the children of Israel to attend the marriage feast, to come to the marriage feast. That's where we begin. Jesus began to speak to them in parables once again. The kingdom of the heavens may be compared to a king who gave a feast for his son's wedding. He sent his servants to call those who had been invited, but they would not come. That's the first invitation. Tell those who have been invited, he said, that I have my banquet all prepared. My oxen and fatted cattle have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding. But they were not interested. One went off to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, maltreated them, and killed them. The king was furious. He dispatched his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burnt their town. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready. But as those who were invited proved to be unworthy, go to the crossroads in the town and invite everyone you can find to the wedding. So the servants went out onto the roads and collected together everyone they could find, bad and good alike. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. When the king came in to look at the guests, he noticed one man who was not wearing a wedding gown. And he said to him, "How did you get in here, my friend, without a wedding garment?" And the man was silent. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him out into the dark, where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen."
You know, Rick, we've been taught since time immemorial that when you go to the wedding feast, a wedding garment will be handed to you, you put it on, and then you go into the wedding feast. If that were the case, then why did not this man have on a wedding garment?
Well, I would just say this, and I'm not going to get into a presentation about it. He was in the marriage feast by grace through faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was there. Anyway, this today is what I see as the ruler of this world's last best effort to reestablish his control and authority over all the people of the world. He wants to establish his socialist oligarchy, that one that Revelation clearly describes. The composite beast with the seven heads and the 10 horns and the 10 crowns on the horns, and the scarlet beast and the woman dressed in scarlet, the great harlot. The devastating astronomical events. A third of the earth, a third of the trees, a third, all the green grass, a third of the ships, a third of the sea creatures. Sounds like hell on earth, and it pretty much is. But what I see now doesn't come from any vision that I've had, because I haven't had any vision about this. It comes from exactly what the King of the Kingdom of the Heavens and the Kingdom of God said. To you it has been given to understand the parables, to understand the prophecies, because you listen and you learn and you are honest with yourself. I don't think that this virus is going to be the end of the world. I don't think that this virus is going to be the nightmare that many people expect it to be. If it were, it would definitely, well, the fact that this virus has hit now, and it was pointed out to me that every election year, every 2 years, there's been some kind of, well, let me say designer virus, some unique virus that threatens pandemic. There's Ebola and SARS. MERS, Zika, Ebola, and now Corona. Every 2 years, the world is threatened with a nightmarish pandemic. And to date, none of the designer viruses have ever lived up to their billing. The devil is desperately trying to keep a tight control on the people of the world, but the people of the world are praying. They're praying to their God. But because they're in the darkness, they're praying to the God that they have grown up with. If they thought for a moment they were praying to the devil, they would not do it. The true God in the heavens hears their prayer, even if they're praying in a mosque, in a synagogue, or in a church. He hears their prayer. In Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. But if you obey the voice of Yahweh your God faithfully, keeping and observing all those commandments of his that I enjoin on you today, Yahweh your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. All the blessings that follow shall come up with you and overtake you, if only you obey the voice of Yahweh your God. Now, verse 15. But if you do not obey the voice of Yahweh your God, nor keep and observe all those commandments and statutes of his that I enjoin on you today, then all the curses that follow shall come up with you and overtake you. Can you be blessed and cursed at the same time? Can you experience peace and prosperity and death and destruction at the same time? That was a confusing thing for Jeremiah. When God talked to him about peace and prosperity and that God would actually come down and sit on the throne of David, and all nations would stream to Jerusalem to worship the God of Israel, and then he talked about death and destruction and captivity, which caused him to say, "Oh, sovereign Lord, how can you say we have peace when the sword is at our throat?" At least 4,000 years ago, God sent a flood, which wiped all of humanity off the face of the earth, save for a people. And all living things, except for those, all terrestrial living things, except for those who were on the ark. Elohim informs us why he did it and how he did it and they make an interesting statement. They looked upon the people of the earth, saw the state of wickedness, and were sorry they had ever made mankind. Why do I think that what we are experiencing right now is not something that we need to be concerned about, but that we should pray about? I don't believe we are at the same state of wickedness that was existent on the earth in the days of Noah. They were clueless about what was about to happen. God had not warned them that a flood was coming. He only warned Noah, and he told him what he needed to do, or he would have died in the waters of the flood.
Don?
Yes.
Go ahead. You can go ahead.
About 5 minutes ago, a point was made, and I need to add that. When you talk to people about this wedding garment, they will tell you, and they say, well, they were passed out at the door. You know, you mentioned that, right, Dennis?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and they have an immediate answer for you. And they'll have all kinds of quotes from prophetesses and all kinds of quotes. They were given the garment, but it was a human thing. The people were too stubborn to put it on. They did not accept God's great gift of grace. They got the garment, but they were too stubborn to put it on. They will answer that immediately.
How does that work, though?
Well, that's the point you have to deal with, but that's what they'll answer you. In fact, about 4 summers ago, it was blatantly in a Sabbath school lesson, giving all the quotes. Hey, the garments were passed out, but the people were too stubborn to put it on. It was right in the Sabbath school lesson about 3 years ago. Then I wanted to insert that.
Okay.
It's terrible.
Thanks, Don.
Anyway, okay, bye.
Again, we all live in spiritual darkness. Even I live in spiritual darkness. But the intellect is where the light will shine. What is in your intellect determines whether the darkness we live in lives in us. We make that decision. We need to become like the Son of God. We need to become one with the Son of God. We need to, although we may live in the darkness, and we do live in the darkness must not live in us.
Rick, the one of the favorite passages I have that relates to what you are saying is found in John 3:19-21, and I've read this before, but I think it bears reading again, because this actually demonstrates what a follower of Jesus Christ needs to do to come out of the darkness. And it says, and Jesus says this, this is the very end of the Nicodemus, where Jesus was talking with Nicodemus in John 3. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. We have been taught all along that in order to come to the truth, you must move into the light. But here, Jesus said, you've practiced the truth first. You practice it, you start practicing it, and then you come into the light. That's when your intellect blossoms.
And the light is the truth.
Correct.
And where does the truth dwell?
In the intellect. If you have it.
More will be given.
Well, you're all right, yes, but I'm looking for one thing very specific. The kingdom of God. And Dennis, we have some Jehovah's Witnesses at the door. The kingdom of God.
Shine a light on them.
That same kingdom that the children of Israel refused to enter. How was it that they refused to enter it? I mean, When the prophets came and said, look, the kingdom is the kingdom is ready for you to enter. What did they need to do to enter the kingdom? There was no place there in Israel that where the marriage hall was, right? There was no wedding hall.
Trust God and obey God. Fear took over.
You know, the temple wasn't the wedding hall. Jerusalem didn't have the wedding hall. And no one that I see asked, well, where is it? Where is this wedding hall so I can go to it? It's like no one was interested. Remember, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You can understand the parables. And remember I said that statement in the movie, Ragnarok. Profound statement. Asgard is not a place, it's a people. The kingdom of God is not a place, it's a people. And the way you enter it is to expel the darkness from your intellect and fill it with the truth, period. Why does God keep secrets? Why does God keep secrets? I mean, doesn't he want us to know the information that we need to know so that we can do what he wants us to do? Well, yesterday I talked about the parables. Remember? Disciples asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? And in essence, he says, well, if I came right out and said what it was, matter-of-factly, oh, they'd all accept it. But then we'd have some basically, we've accepted people without a wedding gown. And don't worry about the cryptic nature of the parables or the mysteries, because to you it has been granted to know these. And they're like scratching their heads. Well, if we knew them, then why are we asking you what they mean? He didn't say to you, you have the ability, because of who you are, to understand these. No, he says, to you it has been granted. That granting of the ability to understand the parables is like, I have the key to understanding. What you need to do is receive the key and find the lock that opens the door. What is that? It is the truth. Truth is the key. And you have to have the truth in your intellect in order for that door to be open. Why would God do even more than give us a cryptic message? I mean, I'm talking about Revelation. In Revelation 13, we have this beast coming out of the sea that has certain characteristics. We have a beast that comes out of the earth that has certain characteristics. We have an image to the beast that the false prophet gives the breath of life to so they can speak. We have two witnesses and we have seven kings and 10 kings but all kind of given in cryptic language. But the most perplexing of all is the seven thunders. Why would God even bother to do that? Why would God put that there? I mean, really, It does nothing for revelation. It does nothing for the information that we can read in our revelation other than go, huh. God told John something that he is withholding from us. And why? Doesn't he want us to have all the information? And if he didn't want us to have the information, why did he tell John and then tell him, don't write it down? I've listened to people explain, well, it means the seven churches or the seven, you know. It's all. No. If God said, don't write down what you heard, then why would he have written it down anyway?
And if God didn't want it written down, why did he even mention it?
See,
that's the whole point.
See, I believe it is a peace and prosperity prophecy of a life road reality. But because of the effect that it would have had, had it been written down, God said, don't write it down. But it is to those at the end of time who read that and start to put two and two together.
So, Rick, what you're saying is we will know whether we are on the life road or death road end time prophecies on November 21, 2020.
Actually, I think it's a little sooner than that.
It might be, but at the very, very, that's the very last moment that we will be able to tell.
Those of you who have been with us for a few years know that I have a chart, and the chart, I think, is still on our
old website
with some time periods on it. And I'm not going to go into detail because we're running short on time, but I just want to say the time periods were not guesses or suppositions. They were actually using the exact wording in the prophecies surrounding the time periods and then logically putting them together. The first date on the chart was July the 11th, 2012. That is when I believed that the faithful and wise bondservant would be contacted by the king, and he and the fellow servants would start delivering a message from which the 144,000 would be gathered. And in March, during that time, the 10 bridesmaids would have been awakened. So by the time the censer was cast down, which looked like it would be end of February or early March, the kingdom and the priests, the 144,000 and the five wise bridesmaids, would be ready to go to a world where Revelation 13 was dawning. But it didn't happen in 2012. It didn't happen in 2016. It could be, and this is my opinion, it could be that that's when the delay started. The delay that the mighty angel proclaims is over You see, the people of the United States selected a president who recognized Almighty God. He may not know God intimately, but he certainly honors God as best he knows. And he prays. He honors God from the darkness. And the people of the United States supported him. And agreed that they wanted peace and prosperity, and he kept his promises. And it is spreading throughout the world. It is spreading throughout the world. The world, the other nations of the world, are choosing peace and prosperity. The president is actively putting an end to war. He's just having to fight the devil off while he does it.
By the way, I've posted that chart on our chat room.
So, it could be that because the delay would have started four years ago. Now remember, I'm saying could be. I'm just suggesting this. That's all. That the delay could end this year. Maybe soon. We approach the beginning of a new year, the spring equinox. That's when God always began his year, spring equinox. And the first month of the new year was the first new moon on or after the spring equinox, which this year occurs a couple days after the spring equinox. When God led his people out of Egypt, it was on the 14th day of the first month of the year. I don't know. But one thing I do know is that the seven thunders may be the reality that we will experience. And that the reason that the seven thunders are even in Revelation is because God knew that the faithful and wise bondservant would be faithful and wise and would patiently endure to the end. And God put the seven thunders in there for the faithful and wise bondservant. And the reason that the one who was supposed to win the election didn't is because the faithful and wise bondservant was patient and endured, and that the people of the world had not fully given themselves over to the devil the ruler of this world. Yes, they're still in darkness, with a certain amount of darkness in their intellect, but if they are given the opportunity to know the truth about the true God, they will accept it. And God will give them that opportunity while they are living in peace and prosperity and not death and destruction. A friend of mine once said, God wouldn't use a sledgehammer if a ball peen hammer would work. We are looking at a certain future in that we know that God is fully aware of what is going on. And God cares about what is going on, and God honors people's spiritual condition, that those who acknowledge Him. And like I said earlier, and I don't want you to think that I'm saying you can't know the true God until you know the truth. So when you worship, if you worship from a heart that loves God, honors God, and loves your fellow man, your neighbor as yourself, that's what God will honor. But when He sends the truth, that's when you need to make the choice. If you choose truth, you choose the true God. If you reject truth, you reject the true God. But you must be given that opportunity. You must be given that choice. And right now, no church, no synagogue, no mosque offers the truth. But they do honor God, who cares about them and cares about the people of the world.
I'll tell you, the last couple of days have been terrific here at Spirit of Truth Ministry. I recommend that you go back to our episode page, and you can download today's program and yesterday's. They go together perfectly. I encourage you to make use of that resource as you can. We encourage you to join us a week from today for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus. And a week from this next coming Friday for another edition of The Bible on Trial. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Singh. So long for now. Have a happy Sabbath, and we'll see you all next time.